Right, hello. This is very bizarre, as this is me from 2024, and you're about to see an episode that was recorded in 2021, almost pretty much 3 years ago, which is that's insane. About 3 years ago, I did a podcast with a friend of mine, Amber, called Disney Ranked. Now, in this show, we kind of talked about Disney films and reviewed them, put them on Evergreen Ranking Board, and I kind of realized that there was a selection of episodes that I never got around to kind of posting due to a magnitude of different reasons, but I thought I might as well now post these kind of archives of episodes. So over the next few weeks, I'm going to try and to post them. The future of the show, we still plan to do things, but it's going to be more YouTube based, I think, going forward. But look, we don't really know the plan. We don't really know what we're doing here. But yeah, it kind of fell apart. Just because of the fact of just life, to be honest, because we started it during the pandemic, nothing was going on, so we had all this time, but then life kind of moved and went forward, and we kind of had, there's a big time zone between us, so it's very hard to actually find time, and with school and everything, that was kind of the main problem. And there was never like a collapse or fallout or anything like that. We've always remained great friends and always kind of kept in touch and kept doing stuff, but look, I just thought I should share these kind of archives and stuff that we did. So yeah, this first one is about Wally, and I hope you enjoy them. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Disney Ranked, a podcast about reviewing Disney movies and putting them on the big ranked board. I'm your host, as always, Lua, and of course, co-hosting me is Amber. Welcome back.
Hi, it's been a while as always.
You just need to get that out of the way. Of course, it's been a while. Right, so we're going to be honest. We've been slacking when it's come to episodes this year. But these next few weeks, we're going to make up for it, we promise.
Yeah, I'm free. It's always my fault, I swear.
In January, we said every month we would do 2 to 3 episodes. We succeeded in January only.
Yay, 1 month.
Woo! It's like one of those living New Year's resolutions, which you just start in January, then it just goes.
We could
Right.
have a half year and a New Year's resolution. I don't know.
We might as well try that. Right, so in this episode, we're coming back now. But before we get into this is a bit of a special episode, as yesterday was 1 year since I met Amber.
Hi.
Hello. So yeah, it's been a year. I just want to know how's it been?
I mean, it's been, I guess. I don't know. It's looking back on it when I first joined, it's like we did episode after episode after episode, and now they're just so
And
far
now
apart.
it's
It's
I know,
crazy.
right? It's mental, but we're back. Before we get into this one, I'm just gonna shout out a couple of things. So first of all, I just want to shout out my channel, Lewis Ever Content Mature and Honest. I'm flying on there. I've hit 150 subs this month, and only 3 weeks ago I hit 100, so I'm doing well there. On there you see all the Disney Ranked episodes, my music, and I do a quite like ironic videos and stuff, and it's quite interesting to say the least. And yeah, a
Yeah.
subscriber would be great. So you get it all in one place over there. Also, we might as well do the Ray Rates thing now. Everyone check out Ray Rates, it is great.
Ray rates movies. It's on anywhere you find podcasts. Another channel I've been slacking on, but Lewis has co-hosted me with that one sometimes. I will go back to it, I swear. I'm just busy, man.
Yeah, these next 3 weeks we're bringing it back, that's for sure. Now I also want to point out, I was talking about music, I have a bit of an announcement, although I think everyone knows me and Amber are doing a song.
Yay, songs.
Music, it's exciting, and it's called Find Your Way. It will be released hopefully late August, early September, depending on when I can get to the recording studio. So that's great. Now, we tend to
Yeah.
make this under 45 minutes. We're almost 3 minutes in, and people have no clue what movie we're talking about today. So should we get on to
I think we should.
it? Just had to get some stuff out of the way. It's been a while, right? Right, so
Yeah.
in this episode, we're going to be looking at the 2009 Disney, Walt Disney Animated Studio film, directed by Disney legend Ron Clements and John Musker, the guys who have been behind many classics, including Aladdin, Little Mermaid, Hercules, and recently Moana. And this film stars Anika Rose, Oprah, It has, of course, Pete. It has Keith David, John Goodman, Jim Cummings, Jennifer Cody, Bruno Kappel. A great cast, by the way.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I didn't even know Oprah was in it until I was looking at the cast. Like, she was Eudora. Like, I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
I just realised. So I think we should start where we always start in these episodes: how we were first introduced to Princess and the Frog. I'm going first on this one because my story's awful. This film, whether you include it in the revival era or not, is probably the one I've seen the least. This is the second time I've watched this film in my life.
Oh, my God.
I remember I saw it a few years ago. I quite liked it. I don't know why I've never seen it. I just never came back to it. It wasn't one that really, back in the day, really stood out as one of the greats. But now I rewatched it and I realise how great this film is. I think you prefer this one a bit more than me, but I really appreciated this film. Watching it in a critical eye is so well done and all that, which we'll get into. So what's your story?
Well, it's nothing much, as usual, but honestly...
It will be better than mine.
Yeah, this has always been one of my favorite Disney movies. I've seen this a million times, like I've seen every Disney movie. And it's always been one of my favorites. It's always been up there. I think this was one of the first Disney movies. No, it might have been the first Disney movie I saw in the movie theaters. I was like one. And
sorry, go ahead.
Oh no, I was like two actually. And it was, yeah, I just remember this and Tangled were like my favorite. The Tangled, Princess and the Frog, Aladdin and Beauty and the Beast were my movies growing up.
Oh yeah. I just imagine 2 year old you vibing to Friends on the Other Side.
Yeah, I was vibing all right. My favorite out of all of them was always Aladdin, though. Aladdin.
For me growing up, my movies were Finding Nemo and Toy Story 3.
Toy Story was my movies as well.
Oh, I loved the. I didn't like the first one because I was scared of Sid. And with Finding Nemo, my mum would always have to fast forward the first 5 minutes. I didn't like it when Marlin's wife died.
Oh, spoilers, man.
Oh, yeah. This is a non spoiler podcast. If you haven't seen Finding Nemo, where you've been at, Jesus. Right, so let's get on to this one. So the big thing with this film is, unfortunately, this is most likely going to be the last ever traditionally animated Disney film. Which, there was Winnie the Pooh 2011, but I count Princess and the Frog as the last one.
Yeah, Princess and the Frog will probably most likely be Disney's last full-length feature film 2D that they released in theaters that made them any money.
Yeah, that it absolutely sucks for me. As much as I do like CGI and how far they've come with animation, I would love to see some 2D films. It's just they don't make money.
Exactly. Like, they think that all 2D films are strictly children's films, and to that I have to say, you're wrong, man.
Like, if you see modern 2D with like anime and stuff, it's incredible what they're able to do. And I wish Disney would occasionally do some more stuff. I'm sure they do like TV shows and stuff with hand drawn, but I'd love to see a movie. I think the day they do that, everyone will love it, honestly. But I feel like that's the kind of big thing of this film. It wasn't a flop, but it didn't do amazing either.
It didn't do incredible, but it made them money. And for a 2D link film at 2009 to be making money, that's saying something. It did make Disney some money. So. Yeah.
So the thing for me with this movie is I honestly believe it's renaissance worthy. This and Lilo and Stitch are the only two 2000s pre-Tangled films that I think should be in that catalog. Princess and the Frog belongs with the film of the 90s. It has the similar beats, it has likeable characters. It's in an alternate reality, it could have definitely been part of the Renaissance over Pocahontas or Rescuers Down Under.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, I love how this film's done. I love how they have so many different characters who are all memorable, and you have some of my favourite Disney characters inside of this one. I just love everything that they do with it, and the way the story's told, the pacing is well done, and I just really enjoy it. But I think, should we start with Tiana? We've kind of talked about this a bit
away
from the mic.
Let's start with characters or story?
We'll start with the characters as we've done with previous episodes. We'll go straight into Tiana. Tiana was a massive step for Disney princesses, as the the last one before her, I believe, was Mulan, right?
Yeah.
Mulan, and of course, Mulan was very independent, bad example, but
and Mulan Tiana... isn't a Disney town either, yeah.
Mulan isn't a Disney princess, come on.
Exactly.
We're just forgetting Mulan 2, when she technically becomes a princess, we're just going to forget Mulan 2.
Get that movie.
But yeah, the Prince of the 90s were definitely an improvement from the, you know, 30s, 60s ones where they had no involvement in the action. Of course, in 90s films, we would see them play a role, but a lot of the time, they wouldn't play a big role, like Ariel and Jasmine kind of need saving by the prince. This is the first kind of film where the princess is hugely involved, and alone, she takes down the villain. She's independent, she's quirky,
Other than Mulan, I'm sorry, it's tough to say this. Other than Mulan, even I really don't count Mulan as a Disney princess. Tiana was the first and only Disney princess to stop the villain all by herself. She found his weakness, she defeated him. Yes, she had some help, but at the end of the day, it was her that resisted, her that found the weakness, and her that killed the villain. She was the first one, and that just proves just how big of a step this was, especially for the first African-American princess, yeah. And then making her as amazing as she was, that's really saying something.
What I love about her is how her kind of morals are. She believes in working hard gets you things. You know, Ariel, she's just signs of blooming form and all her wishes come. Jasmine just kind of runs away, you know. She has to work to get her restaurant, and she will not just, like, throw away stuff. She will work to get that dream. She's been working. Her story's really great, and I love the kind of whole thing with her father, and he wanted to have the restaurant, now she's continuing it on. It's just brilliant.
Exactly. And what I love about Tiana so much is that she's not just independent and badass, because, for example, like, even though, like, I don't know if that's a bad word, I'm sorry. Even though there are a bunch of princesses now who are independent and very strong, like, some like the newer characters, the thing with Tiana is that not only is she independent, she has a very likable and relatable personality. She's snarky, she's chill, she's can be a bit headstrong sometimes, but she's able to keep it down, and she's just very like that. And it's like this is probably one of the most relatable Disney princesses.
Absolutely, 100%. What this character does is just, there's so much to her. She gives great morals to kids, and I completely agree with everything you said. She's just such a role model.
I don't know. I randomly thought of something. I'm pretty sure this is the first and only Disney movie that took place in America.
Oh, yeah. Now I think about it.
Yes. Now that I think about it,
you know. And the representation in this film to give, you know, African-American people this princess that is a great model who works hard and gets her dreams is fantastic to see.
And very well-deserved.
Yeah, it was about time.
Yeah, Tiana was just such a milestone for Disney, and I hate that it has to be a milestone because it shouldn't have been one to have the hit anyway. It's still just really great to finally see diversity and such in Disney.
Absolutely. We see that a lot now with, like, Raya and Moana and stuff. But
oh, yeah, now it's completely norm, and I'm so glad. Hopefully the next step will be for the LGBT, because
yeah, we just need Finn and Poe now.
Yeah, exactly.
That's your next step, Disney. Come on. You thought 100-something years ago or whatever, when you made Song of the South, you know, you've come a long way since then. Come on.
Exactly.
Give us your LGBTQ representation now, please, Disney. Anyway,
exactly. Moving on. Times, man. Okay, moving on, characters.
The other key character inside this one is Prince Naveen, and oh my god, he's hilarious.
Literally, Prince Naveen is up there with one of the best Disney princes.
He's such a cool, and of course, in the first ever episode we ever did, Enchanted, we talked all about kind of the prince problem and how, you know, the evolution of princes has been since, you know, the early ones are very much, we're charming, we're nice, that's it. And then in the 90s, started to have a bit more, but now they're not really princes, they're just kind of funny blokes now with, like, Maui and, you know, Flynn Rider and Kristoff. Yeah. But Naveen was kind of the first of that.
Honestly, I think the first was honestly Aladdin, honestly.
Technically, yes. Well, Beast, maybe.
Oh, yes, Beast.
Yeah,
No,
Beast is
the
technically the first
princes
one,
who I
yeah.
think really have a bunch of personality, not counting Simba, is the Beast, Aladdin, Naveen, Flynn Rider, of course, and Prince Edward from Enchanted.
Yeah. I'm technically Hans, but you know.
Hans doesn't count, man.
He got punched off a boat. He doesn't count. Naveen is
Exactly.
such a cool character. I love Naveen. Honestly,
He's
everything
just
he.
so laid back and chill that I'm just like, this is my idol, man.
Everything from his delivery is just fantastic. Like the voice actor does a great job with him as well. Like honestly, what a guy, Prince Naveen. Like, if I were to hang out with any Disney prince, he'd be right at the top.
Literally the voice acting, speaking of which, is amazing in this movie. Like
Oh
every
my
single
God, yeah.
character sounds like they're having a blast on the mic.
I love
The
what
voice acting is
Naruto.
almost as good as Road to El Dorado. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie.
Oh yeah, banger that one is. I love
The two men
Naruto.
in those were hilarious.
Oh yeah.
I compare this to this voice acting to be right up there. It was
Yeah.
amazing.
And they do give Prince Naveen kind of a character. I'm not bit of a controversial opinion. I don't think the romance is amazingly handled. Like it seems a little rushed at points, but you know, compared to a lot of other Disney movies, it's a lot better.
Honestly, compared to, say, Little Mermaid or Aladdin or such, where it was literally love at first sight, with Princess and the Frog, like they got to know each other, like before they immediately figured out, oh, I'm in love with you. Like they actually, it wasn't love at first sight. They had to get to know each other. They went through di their dynamics,
Yeah.
and they were legitimately cute together.
Yeah, absolutely. It wasn't amazing, but you know, for the standard that Disney's put, you know, you have Snow White, you just have this Prince Florian guy just show up and she leaves the dwarfs who she's got to know all this time, just leaves him for this prince she doesn't know. They've come a
Exactly.
long way with princes and it's fantastic to see this fantastic character,
Exactly. For
honestly.
2000, but especially for like early Disney movies like this, it really was one of the better romances.
It was, but it wasn't perfect.
Course not. I mean, what there's no such thing as perfect
But
romance in Disney.
I mean, recently I've been watching stuff like WandaVision, where you know, WandaVision is just perfect and stuff.
WandaVision's romance is perfect.
Yeah, there was a time when you thought they weren't good together. I do
Oh my,
remember
I still am
that.
so mad at myself.
I'm sorry, I had to remind you about that.
I
Right,
can't believe
so.
I'm never like, okay, I always liked Scarlet Witch. It's just that I always thought she was just but now I'm like in love with her and I love her relationship with Vision. I'm like, how did I not? These two look cute. I'm mad.
Okay, so moving on to the villain of the film, Dr. Facilier. This guy for me was the last great Disney villain.
He is
I
my favorite Disney villain.
Wow, he's up there. There's just so much to this guy, personality. I love he's so creative for his voodoo and stuff. He has real depth, you know. He doesn't need this whole like story of why he's doing this and his motivation is simple and straightforward, and you know what he wants to do. He's just an evil guy doing evil things.
Here's the thing, y'all can have your opinions on who the best Disney villain is. And I have quite a few favorite Disney villains. Like, for example, I love Hades. I love Maleficent. I love all those villains. Ursula is amazing. But my favorite is Dr. Facilier. First of all, he's just Friends on the Other Side is a banger song.
Yeah,
And the
we'll get to songs a bit later on.
exactly. But the animation on Dr. Facilier was just so vibrant and so imaginative and scary as well. And the guy doing the voice was like on point. He was so well acted, he was so well animated, he had such a devious personality that you just couldn't help but hate him and love him, which is exactly what you want a villain to be.
Yeah.
So personally, Dr. Facilier is probably my favorite Disney villain.
Oh
He's
yeah.
so great.
Yeah, I think Keith David makes this character. I love the design of him as well, like the hat and like the stick. He's so cool. I agree with every point you brought. We'll talk about Frenzy on my side, but spoiler, like that is top tier. honestly, he's better than probably half of the villains from the 90s. Like, who remembers the villain from Pocahontas?
There was a villain in Pocahontas?
Oh, yeah, Radcliffe, yeah. He's honestly, like, my favourite Disney villain. You know, Scar's up there, Hades is up there, Dr. Facilier. I'd honestly put, like, Maleficent and Ursula, but he's definitely top five for me. He's so good. Every aspect of him is fantastic.
I've done so many shows. I did The Lion King and The Little Mermaid, and I played Ursula, and I played Scar.
Says a lot.
Just saying, man.
Right, so I think we should move on to the two side characters, which are Ray and Louis. Now, little rant about Ray. I did not like the fact that they killed Ray off. I felt it was a pointless thing that they threw in for the sake of it, for the sake of there being a death. We didn't need to kill him off. I didn't like it at all.
Okay, I kind of have to disagree with you a bit, because even though I agree with the death and how it didn't seem like there was any purpose to have to kill him off, he was built up from the beginning that he was going to pass on so he could be with his loved one in the sky, and so they can make that star. That was so sweet and such a Princess and the Frog moment. Like, remember the star to the right? And he's like, one day I'm going to join her up there. And now that he has, and he sacrificed himself so they can help Tiana, now he is up there. And that was one of the most visual things of Princess and the Frog. You see those two stars up there in the night sky.
Yes, I see where you're coming from. Personally, I felt it was a bit of a dumb plot point. Like, I get why it was sweet and stuff, but it didn't appeal to me that much. It just felt like a thing they shoehorned in. I love the character, kind of his personality. I love how cool he is when he, like, uses his abilities and stuff, and how he fights, like, the shadow people. And he made a great addition, but they didn't need to kill him off. They didn't need that plot point. He was good enough, and it just felt like, oh, we killed someone. It's the most pointless Disney death of all time, honestly.
I wouldn't say the most, because, again, with the point that he was built up to die. But there have definitely been more pointless deaths. And that's not
to say. I mean, yeah, Tarzan, probably the gorilla in that one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that one's probably there. But, yeah, but I understand.
To Louis is my man. Louis is the bomb, man.
This is what I'm talking about in this movie. Every single character is just amazing. Just what they do, their vibe, and just the voice acting, what they do. Louis, you know, he's got a straightforward goal. He wants to play a trumpet in a band. And he's funny and he's cool. I love the part where he just leads them in the wrong direction. And it's just...
He's not as memorable. I have to admit, he's not like, you don't really remember, you don't really put him up there with some of the great Disney comic reliefs like Lumiere, Genie, and stuff like that. But no, he should be, because he is really funny.
Yeah, I definitely agree. He's probably my least favourite of the five characters we've talked about so far. But that says nothing, because when you've got people like Tiana, Prince Naveen, Dr. Facilier, and Ray, it's like, that's a hard lot of... But anyway, moving on to kind of the other characters. You've got Charlotte, who I don't really care for Charlotte, to be honest.
I love Charlotte. So, like, back up. She made me laugh so much. She is such a funny little... Oh, my. She made me laugh so much. I freaking love Charlotte.
Yeah, she didn't get me as much, to be honest. I didn't really care for her.
Her attitude, it was just so funny. Like, she wasn't unlikable because she wasn't one of those stuck-up little pieces of female dog. But, like, she was, like, actually really supportive of Tiana. And she was funny. Like, she was like, oh, my God, Daddy, tell him, tell her. And then he started telling her. He's like, no, I'm going to tell her. And she's just so funny.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from. But I didn't really care for her, to be honest. I do like they gave her a bit of a redemption at the end, and she tries to kiss Naveen and it just doesn't work, and I like that, but it just, she just didn't say, she just wasn't all that funny to me compared to other characters like Prince Naveen or Ray or Louis,
Well,
you
she's
know.
not one of the more memorable ones of the cast. I have to agree with that. But she really got me laughing.
Okay, now it is one that here's a character that I love. Mama Odie. Oh my God.
Mama Odie is great.
What a woman. She's just so memorable. She's one of the most interesting characters, and I just didn't expect to like her as much as I did, like the first time I watched it. She surprised me with who she was and stuff, and I love the ending to this film. It ends in the perfect way, like the final battle and everything, and how it ends, Mama Odie. I love that.
Yeah, I agree. I do really like Mama Odie, and she's so memorable, man. And she really did get me laughing too. And we're gonna talk about songs, but she also has a killer song.
Okay, so then the character we all forget is like the butler guy
Oh yeah,
who
his character.
becomes Naveen, and I'm sorry, I don't give jack all about this man. I'm sorry.
I don't even know his name, man.
I think that was the point, that he's always been in like the shadows of people, and Dr. Sidier gives him a part, but he's just so forgettable.
Yeah.
It's just, oh yeah, he was a character, but that was it, honestly. So I
Okay.
feel like next we should talk story, as we kind of, I think the story, it's not incredible. I think the characters kind of make the story for me, as the pacing's well done, but some scenes aren't always fantastic, and I think the characters really make the story. The plot itself, it's just,
Okay.
man becomes frog for an
I have a
evil voodoo god.
really big beef about the story.
Yeah.
So the characters are all great. The songs, we'll get to them, but spoiler, they're all great. And it seemed like such a great plot. The story is so damn complicated. There is so much crap that we didn't even mention. Like, it's so complicated. Like, the way that the princess is because of the parade and her father is king and it's only on one night or something. And how she considers a princess even though she's really not, even though her father has money and he's a mayor, except he's not. It doesn't make any sense. And that doesn't even mention what's going on at Dr. Facilier's side with the Shadow Man. And now he has like a time window to get something. It's so complicated. And we really could have done without like half of that.
Yeah, like all of that stuff with like Charlotte and the father, I just don't care for it. I just forgot about it, to be honest. It's so, like, the story is not perfect. It's not a fantastic story. There's so much going on. Like, it's all the they keep cutting back to all these different people, and I just want to see Naveen and stuff, and I don't care for them. I don't care for Charlotte.
Exactly. But the story itself wasn't amazing, but again, the characters and the songs really make it. And it really is a character-driven film. It's
What happened there? Someone called me and Amber got kicked out. You're here, right?
I'm here, yes.
So sorry about that. I've had to. I had the Don't Disturb on, but for some reason that call got through. I don't know how. But we were talking about the story and how ridiculously complicated it is. Yeah, there's a lot of filler inside this one that just wasn't needed, as you said. And there's all the stuff with. We didn't even talk about Charlotte's dad. I don't care about him. I don't care what's going on. I just want to see, Tiana and Naveen's stuff going along, meeting these people and these killer songs. I feel like they tried to do a bit too much, with the runtime and.
However, speaking of those killer songs, I happen to know a lot about the songs, so I'm going to take over for the song portion. Let's start off with the opening, Down in New Orleans. It is such a catchy tune. Just, and
Yeah.
so, and my dad actually grew up in New Orleans. And so, yeah, he said it's very like it just goes down to New Orleans. I don't even know, but it's such a good catchy opening, and I don't know, I really liked that opening. What do you think?
100%. It's just quite a good jam. It's not my favorite song, but it's definitely got like, it's one of the best kind of opening songs, a lot better than like Arabian Nights, and it's up there with the Circle of Life. Honestly, it's one of the best
Arabian
opening
Nights
song.
is killer for me, but okay.
Yeah, I do like Arabian Nights, but this one's better for me.
Yeah, it's more
One,
consistent, I agree.
okay. Now, one thing I will say about the songs is that this is the one film where every character gets a song, and I'd love that.
Yeah, and all the songs for most part are really memorable. First of all, let's talk about the next song, Almost There. which this is Tiana's song, one of the best Disney Princess songs, if not the best Disney Princess song.
This is a song that everyone kind of remembers from this film. It's the standout. It's definitely, it might be my favorite, you know.
It was the first animated film to win Best Original Song in the Oscars.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
We're almost there. I know a lot about these songs. And it was just such a great song, and it was great. I always
think the song. I understand. Like, everything from the vocal to kind of the staging, you know, with her mother and stuff, and it's one of the best I Want songs, as you know, it shows everything that she's doing. Every Disney film has the I Want song, and this is one of the best ones.
Mm-hmm.
As it tells you everything you need to know about Tiana and this song, and what she believes and what her morals are, and it's fantastic.
I agree. It was such a good song. Now, to probably the best song in the whole damn movie, you got flipping Friends on the Other Side.
Oh my god.
Such a showstopper, man.
This is the third best Disney villain song of all time. I put Hellfire and Be Prepared ahead of it, but it's amazing. The visuals inside of it, everything, you know, it's got such jam. It honestly is like a Hamilton song, you know. You've got the talking and kind of the performance, and, you know, this is on par with Hamilton music. This is honestly amazing.
With Friends on the Other Side, it's really crazy because Hellfire was such a massive hit. It was such an amazing, killer Disney villain song from The Hunchback of Notre Dame that Friends on the Other Side, 12 years later, is when they finally made another Disney villain song.
The Pocahontas villain has a song, but forget about
it. It's not really a villain. Pocahontas came out before Hunchback of Notre Dame.
It did? Oh, yeah, it's 97. I've lost it today.
Hellfire was the last Disney villain song until Princess and the Frog, and Friends and Princess and the Frog did not disappoint.
It's still, to this day, it's the greatest villain song from 2009 onwards. I really like Mother's Knows Best, and, you know, but it's, and Shiny and stuff, but it's by far my favourite modern Disney villain song. It's just, everything is fantastic in it. It's honestly. Words are not going to do justice how good this song is.
And then When We're Human, which is the trio song with Louis, Tiana, and Naveen, when they're all singing about when they're human again, except Louis's never going to be human. I love this catchy tune, but why I love it more is because a couple years ago I did a Disney themed summer camp or whatever, and we sung When We're Human, and I sung Louie, and it was amazing because I got a fake trumpet.
Yeah, it's a very catchy tune. Definitely not the best, you know. It's not as good as Almost There, Friends on the Side, but it's a real good tune.
Catchy song. It's just like When We're Human, and it's just I could sing that song all day, but I can also sing Almost There, Friends on the Other Side all day. So.
Yeah, absolutely, every time. So, next song.
Next song, I believe it's Gonna Take You There, unless that was before the song. Oh, no, that was... Is Gonna Take You There the... I haven't seen this movie in a while. Was it the one that Ray sung?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, that was alright. I liked it.
It's nowhere near the other songs, but it's the fact that you don't know who sang it shows that it wasn't that memorable. It's fine. It's there. It has its place.
I barely remember the tune. If I heard it, it'd come back to me. But unfortunately,
to be honest, I watched this film last night and I barely remember the tune.
Okay.
that says a lot.
And then you got another show-stopping song, Dig a Little Deeper. It's so catchy. It's just like...
Absolutely.
And also the theme behind it is so good. She's like, you gotta dig a little deeper. I would have loved to sing the song at like a show or something. It is such a good song, man.
I feel like this is the most we've praised a film since Hamilton.
There's nothing wrong with it except for the overcomplicated story, if you ask me.
Yeah. And like a few characters and stuff, but I just, these songs are fantastic.
Absolutely. It's just
so good. So, Is that the last song, I believe?
That's the last song I remember, unless you want to count Down in New Orleans finale, I guess.
It was fine. It existed. I've forgotten about it.
Well, if you've heard the opening, you've heard the
song. So, I want to talk a bit about the final act before we move on to that animation and stuff. So, what are your thoughts of the third act of this film?
Of the final act?
Yeah.
I liked it. I mean, like, there again, it was pretty complicated. It was just like, it wasn't that complicated, actually. There's a lot of manipulation. You gotta get the person there. Oh, he's kidnapped. Oh, she's dead. There's like a bunch of here and there that. But honestly, it's really not that hard to follow. It was a pretty, it did get you, like, engaged in the film and, like, what was going to happen, because you didn't care about these characters and you didn't want to see them get hurt.
I love Louis' involvement in this third act, right? Because they think he's actually in a costume, and then they send him on the parade, and then at one point he just becomes a crocodile.
That was hilarious, yeah.
Oh my god, that was... I loved Louis' involvement. Of course, we've talked about the death of Ray already.
Yeah.
I love Tiana's involvement, and Dr. Facilier's death is one of my favourite Disney villain deaths as well. Aren't there?
A good list to have. Oh my god, I loved it when that character died.
Yeah, probably the worst Disney villain death is Ursula. She died to a boat.
She had the power... That boat stabbed her in the gut, man.
But she has the power of the ocean, and she died to a boat.
Okay, I played Ursula, and I got stabbed in the gut with the boat. Let me tell you, it's pretty painful.
Wait, they actually stabbed you a boat?
No, not actually, but yeah.
Okay. That would have been funny. That's how
no, it wouldn't 10. Have been funny. I would have been stabbed in the gut.
Yeah, but it would have made a good story.
What story?
I mean, you had the whole Empress New Groove story if you aren't last time, so...
Okay, just continue talking.
Yeah, anyway, moving on. I think we need to talk about how amazing the animation is inside of this one.
It's beautiful.
Absolutely, like, this is peak 2D animation, you know, this is the best that they've ever done. It's up there with the 90s, you know, the character designs are fantastic, they make them, you know. I love, my favourite bits of animation are drawing anything to do with the voodoo stuff, it's just beautiful. Mm-hmm. They somehow made Dr. Facilier's voodoo people look beautiful. I don't know how they managed that one.
It's above me too, I'm there.
But they did, it's stunning, you know. My favourite character design is Dr. Facilier, but they make everything look good. They make, you know, the boring swamps look good. They made a frog look likeable.
Exactly.
I don't know. I feel like the film's called Princess and the Frog, and we've barely talked about the frogs.
That was pretty cool, man.
Yeah. I vibe with frogs, you know.
So, mate, should we just wrap it up and talk about the news, or is there anything else?
Yeah, I feel like we should go into final thoughts. So I'll go first. What else is there to say with this movie? We've just been singing its praise this entire episode. It's just been everything from the songs to the characters, fantastic. It's not perfect. The story could have been done better. Some characters I'm not a massive fan of. A couple of the songs are quite forgettable. It's definitely a good 8.5 to 9 out of 10 for me. You know, it's going to score high on the big rank board, whether it can beat some of the big competitors. And it's hard, but I feel like we've barely pointed out the flaws of this film, because it just isn't.
I agree. It was really such a great film. And for a Disney princess movie as well to be this memorable and this, like, amazing... It was just such a good movie. The animation was killer. The songs were amazing. The characters, so likable. But I will have to say, though, that the story could have been done a lot better. It was rather complicated, but it was not impossible to follow. I followed it when I was 7 when I first, like, remember seeing it. But, like, yeah, I do have to admit, it could have been done better. It's not perfect like Hamilton, but... It is really good.
Yeah, it's just, you want to put on a movie that you're going to have a good time, you want a laugh. It's just, you can't watch this film and have a negative experience. Like, I swear. So I think it's time before we do news, should we do the Rotten Tomatoes prediction?
All right, I already know it.
Of course you do. I reckon that how Rotten Tomatoes works is it's based off 6 out of 10. So you give a 6 out of 10, it's a positive score, 3 out of 5, whatever. So it's not, for example, you know, 91% of people think this is great. It's 91% of people say it's 6 out of 10. And 6 out of 10 is like an average. So I'd say this is probably going to be high. The number that keeps coming to me is 87.
87? It's just a bit lower. It's an 85.
Oh, that was too off. I don't even think I've got one of these bang on yet.
No, you're that was really close. You're only 2% off.
Yeah, I'm going to pat myself on the back for that one. Right, and then so
the audience gave it a 74%.
Yeah, I bet there's some racist people who are just like...
That's exactly what I was thinking, man. That was exactly what I was thinking.
Like, the first African-American princess. Why are you doing this, Disney?
Exactly.
Also, there is the whole thing, that this thing where you have, like, a black character and they keep turning into something else. You've got, you know, Spies in the Sky, Soul, and Prince and the Frog. You are this black character and they turn into something. That's a bit of a controversial element, but, you know.
I agree, yeah.
It's just a bit funny that, like, oh, you've got Jamie Foxx and, oh, he's a blue thing. Will Smith, he's a pigeon.
Exactly.
It's just a coincidence. It's quite funny. Do we look at some bad reviews and laugh at them?
I will, yes.
Yeah, greatest bit of Disney, right?
Some of it I can kind of understand. There are some who are, like, really upset. Like, oh, there's demons in this movie? PG-13 at least. My daughter woke up screaming. And I'm like, okay, I guess your daughter's just a pussycat, okay?
Have we seen Snow White? Because that has some, like, horrible, like, imagery inside of there.
It's one person.
So if Snow White gets a U, Prince and the Frog is fine.
And this white guy named Derek said, absolutely not, 4 explanation points. This movie is horrible. It is nonsense, and it is nonsense and way too inappropriate for me. That being said, I would not watch any more than 5 minutes of this.
5 minutes? What, you saw the dad die and you're like, oh, this is inappropriate. Have you seen a film called The Lion King?
Exactly.
Well done, review, Derek. He said it was too dark for him. I imagine Derek is like this 35-year-old white guy.
Okay, there's another review. It has, Adam gave this movie a 1-star review. He said, why a frog? Why not a turtle? Disgusting movie. I wanted a turtle.
I'm pretty sure that review's ironic. That's a good review. I like that one. I wanted a turtle. Go watch Finding Nemo. That has a turtle in it. How can you judge the quality of a film based on what animal they turn into?
Exactly.
That'd be like me watching Spies in the Sky and thinking, oh, I would have loved to see Will Smith as a giraffe. Why did it have to be a pigeon? It's just dumb. Have you got another review?
Yep.
So these are audience, I'm guessing.
Yep. Here's one. Worst movie I ever saw. I mean, the animation is so bad. And I hate the scene when Tiana kissed the frog. ... I hate it. ...
You're either a little girl or I don't even know. The animation was bad. What planet are you on?
Exactly.
What blooming planet are you on to say that the animation in Princess and the Frog was bad? And especially the point.
Honestly, she was probably wearing it without her glasses.
Oh, it's either a 5-year-old or someone's grandma. The worst film you've ever seen.
So, is it now time for the big ranked board?
Are we doing that? Did you not do a poll for this one?
Oh, shoot. I didn't. But I will say this, though, for the polls. I have asked a lot of times, who's your favorite Disney princess and such. Tiana and Rapunzel pretty much always get first place.
Yeah, and this was actually something we were debating earlier, and Amber, with her amazing skills, convinced me that Tiana is the greatest Disney princess.
There's only been, like, 2 things I haven't convinced him about, and that's because he's dumb. Okay, you're not dumb.
Wait, what are they?
Wally.
Yeah.
And something else. I don't know. I just don't think I have a perfect track record.
Not perfect, but I mean, you're getting close.
I mean, there's only been, again, there's probably one thing I haven't convinced you on, but I'm getting there.
Have I convinced you on anything yet?
I have a pretty strong viewpoint on things. It's really hard to convince me about stuff.
I've learned that over this year, that's for sure. So, you forgot the poll, but we're just going to say that 100% of people said it was great. No, 99%. And 1% said awful, and that was Derek, the white guy. If we ever become like a world successful podcast and have like merch, Derek, the white guy, is going to be the first shirt we sell.
Exactly.
I can't believe I haven't thrown this in by now, but I just want to say before we get to the big hard ball, the dance in between in this film from Prince Naveen is years beyond the old people dancing from Enchanted.
Yeah, the only thing that was missing was Jonathan Groff.
Oh! It had to be done. So is it time for the big ranked ball? This is the segment of the show where we take the film we just review and compare it to other movies we've done before them. Just find the board.
I feel bad. It's been a while. Do we do that before or after Disney News segment?
I think it's different every time.
What do you say? Should we do it before or after?
We'll do it after, actually, because it's going to be a bit more interesting. So let's get on to Disney News. Forget that ever happened. I've got an editor now, so editor, cut all of that. That never happened, okay?
All right. So here are some stuff that's going on. Now, there is speaking of Princess and the Frog, there is going to be a upcoming Disney Plus original series in 2023 and it's going to be a sequel, I believe, and it's going to simply be called Tiana, I believe.
Yeah, I've heard is it 2D, right?
Yes, and it'll be coming in 2023. There's no other news about it. It's called Tiana. I was right about that. There's no news about it. There's no saying who's the cast. They're not saying nothing. But that's what's announced so far of Tiana.
So it's cool. More Tiana. I hope the original cast comes back.
Oh, absolutely.
And yeah, they announced quite a few of those shows. They're doing a Tangled one, a Zootopia one. And a Big Hero 6 one for Baymax, so it's quite cool.
My sister, I'm so sorry, my sister is screaming right now.
Yeah, my sister came in like 2 minutes ago as well.
Anyway,
moving on back to Disney, right?
Back to Princess and the Frog for the news. We also have, I don't know if y'all have ever heard of it, but in Magic Kingdom or in Sunny Disney World, there's a ride called Splash Mountain, which is a very popular ride. And it was based off of the film Song of the South, which I don't want to call it a classic film, but it is one of the old live-action Disney films. It was one of the first live-action Disney films.
And unfortunately, it's quite problematic.
It's quite problematic.
It's a product of its time, let's say that.
Yes. And so even though it gave us the classic Zippity-Doo-Dah song and Bear Rabbit and such, it does have some pretty... fist clenching scenes in it.
Yeah, so they had no choice but to replace it with something very much celebrating the Black community with Princess and the Frog.
So they will be refurbishing Splash Mountain into a Princess and the Frog themed ride. It'll still be the same thing with the huge drop at the end, but it will now be a Princess and the Frog themed ride in both Disney World California, Disneyland California, and Disney World Florida, which is where I live. And so that is what's going to be going on. And one more thing before we go on to the big...
Can I just say something about that?
Yep.
The ride thing.
Yes.
Yeah, that's one of those things where people always get annoyed when they do it. When they change Tower of Terror to the Guardians of the Galaxy ride. There's always a backlash, but here they have no choice to do it. And it's bad on the Disney brand to have that ride. And it's still going to pretty much be the same ride. It's just a different branding.
Exactly. It's not going to be that much. I'm honestly excited because Splash Mountain has been the same thing for forever.
It was time for a change, so...
Exactly.
Okay.
And now, one more thing before we go on to the big Disney rank board. A new Disney film is coming out, new Disney anime film coming out, And there's already a teaser out for it, and it's going to be called Encanto. I really hope I'm saying that correctly. It's coming out in November 24th, and it is about a girl, and it takes place in Colombia. And she's like the I'm not gonna spoil nothing because I want you to watch the trailer for yourself. And if you don't want to watch the trailer, then I'm not spoiling anything. But Encanto is going to be a musical film, and the music will be written by none other than the Lin-Manuel Miranda.
I'm sold. Literally, all you need to know about this film is Disney movie, Lin-Manuel Miranda music, and you're sold. You know, he did the music for Moana as well, and he was amazing. So it's great to have him working. You know, there's no way this film can be bad when you've got Lin-Manuel Miranda. At least
there's no way it's gonna be bad. There's no way it's gonna be bad.
So it's gonna be a great year for Disney with Raya being probably a lot better than I was expecting. I really like that film, and Encanto is gonna be great. And
exactly. So anyway, that's all for news.
Yeah, that's the news. There's surely been a lot more news, but we kind of do it based off what film we're talking about, so we won't talk about, say, the Turning Red news until we do another Pixar film or any MCU. We kind of, because it was a bit jarring to talk about A New Hope and then talk about the Mulan remake. It just it just didn't work there. So now it's time for the big ranked board. This is the big segment of the show, what the show is all called about, where at the moment we have 27 different films and we basically go from the bottom to the top and see where they land. So the big question, Amber, is it better than the Kim Possible remake?
Ooh, let me think. I think like a million times, something like that.
Somewhere. A wrinkle in time.
Yes.
Lion King remake.
Yep.
Maleficent 2.
Yep.
Maleficent.
Yee.
High School Musical.
Yee.
Teen Beach Movie.
Yes.
Captain Marvel.
Yes.
Good female-led film. The Attack of the Clones.
Yes.
Peter Pan.
Yes.
Snow White.
Yes. This is the real demon
Beauty, film. Beauty and the Beast, the remake.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Frozen 2.
I love you, Jonathan Groff. I'm not to say yes, man.
Onward. It's a better made film, yeah. Robin Hood, yes.
I mean, I'd say yes, yeah.
No, here's where things get difficult. Frozen.
Yes.
I think although Frozen and Runs for both have the issues, this is a more enjoyable film than Frozen. Muppets Most Wanted. This is so hard. They're both hilarious, but yes. Into the Woods. Yes.
Gonna have to say yes.
Enchanted, the first film we ever reviewed. Oh, it's so odd. The next film up is Wall-E, just to let you know.
Okay, I think it's better than both.
Both? Wow. Mm. Moana.
Nah.
The next one up after that is Tangled, definitely not.
Nah. Okay, I'm gonna have to stop it underneath Moana.
Yeah. I can't believe you said it's better than Wall-E, though.
Actually, personally, I'd probably actually put it a bit higher than Moana. Yeah, I would.
Yeah, I'd stop it.
I loved Moana. It was such a good film. It's just that I've seen that movie way too many damn times.
Same thing for me. Like, my sister was watching it the other week. I just can't watch it the same way.
Yeah, below Tangled, it just passes Wall-E for me. I think with Wall-E, I think just there are some characters in Wall-E that I could have done without. Princess and the Frog, I loved everything.
It passes Wall-E by a lot for me.
Josh, it's Lewis. We're done with that. I called you Lewis.
Oh my god. Okay. I feel like this is the most we've argued in the Disney ranked episode. We had the boat thing and now this.
Don't worry, we're still friends.
Barely. It's been a year.
Maybe. We're still friends. Maybe.
Yeah, so looking to the future episodes, we don't know when they're going to be. We're going to try and do as many as we can. Amber's from Tuesday to Sunday next week. You're going somewhere, right?
I'm leaving on Tuesday and I'm coming back on Sunday.
So that's going to take away a few days, but we're going to try and do two more since before then, hopefully. And we've got an editor now, so hopefully every week we'll have one episode out going into September.
I'm sure we can do another episode on, like, Sunday or something, so.
Yeah.
By the time we're recording.
We're just going to stockpile up the episodes and get through that season two. I believe next is the Alice in Wonderland remake.
All right. That would be quite an adventure for me. I have a lot to say about that movie, and I have an interesting way of how I found out about it, so.
It's going to be a good episode. She's hyping it up. And then, of course, whenever... I'm not really sure when we're going to do Revenge of the Sith and how. It's basically the one-year anniversary, but things got complicated and stuff. And
I blame it on my cousin. Just blame it on my cousin.
Okay. I've not heard about this. What's he done now? Anyway, right. As we said in the game, check out the type of content material on us. Ray rates movies and... Make sure to follow this podcast, you know, share it. That's the most important thing. Get people to know. We've been doing this for a year and we have an estimated audience of 3, so. But, you know, we enjoy doing it.
We do it for ourselves.
We do it for ourselves only. But to be fair, Captain Marvel did get like 40 something views on YouTube.
Why Captain Marvel?
Why not Into the Woods?
No, why not just, like, the Beauty and the Beast remake or something? Like, come on.
Anything. Why not Kim Possible?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so I'll be putting out... I want to put out a few old episodes as well on the channel, mainly the Hamilton one, because that is still probably the greatest episode we've ever done.
The loot.
Yeah, so anyway, thanks for listening. I'm Lewis, and this is Disney Ranked.